Kumlan Labat Gemara, we're still discussing this Karfif, where the rule was that if it's a large area and it was encircled to surround a living quarter, then it's all right. But if it's not, then if it's greater than Tusa, greater than 5,000 square amas, it's like a carmelis, you can only carry there 4 amas. And then we learn different ways on how to fix it up. If, let's say, after you built the fence, you decided to put a house there, this doesn't help. You have to actually start the fence all over again by making a breach and then covering it again. Or by putting a box in there, if that somehow or another is going to reduce the size of that area, if it brings it down to 2 sa or less. Now we're going to do another, and we have a few arguments, Rabba and Rabba, about how significant the space it should take up. Now the next argument is Toch Boy Tit. This is about 15 lines on the top of the page. First were the lines of the Kula, in which is Toch Boy Tit. What happens? He puts cement on the wall, so by thickening the wall, it now encroaches into the area which is larger than 2 sa. So now suddenly it's no longer 2 sa. So is that good enough or not? So we say over here, talk about the Yochel Lamba Bifnei Atzmai. If the tit was thick enough that if you remove the wall, it would still be able to stand there, Havi Mit. We recognize it as an entity in its own and reduces the size of that yard. Any Yochel Lamba Bifnei Atzmai, if it can't, we have an argument. Rabba Amar Mit, it's still valid. It reduces the size. And Rabba says, Lo Havi Mit. Rabba Amar Mit, why hash to me a koi? The fact is now it's standing. Rava Amallah have a meat, it's not a meat. Kivan de la Yochel, the maker of an atzma, since it cannot stand without the wall holding it up, is like klumhu. Therefore, it's not valid, and we cannot count on it to reduce the size of the mavi. Next one is hirchik min atel. So you have a mound, and the mound is, let's say, one of the walls. So it's the fourth side, let's say. And then you have to, you put a house there, and you have to make like a new fence or something. So here, chik min hatel. What happens? Remember, the fence was built in not for residential use, and now you put a house there, and you have this hill, which is a mound. You have it as one of the mechitzas. What happens? So like this: here, chik min hatel dalad. If you moved a wall 4 tfachim away from that original wall, you create a new wall, therefore it works. And now everything is permissible. Everything's permissible. why? Because this new mechitza is brand new. It's not part of the old one. And you made it after the house is put in there. What about pachim gimels within 3 tfachim of the old mound? Oy al sfasatel, or the edge of the mound, is an argument whether it's considered a new wall or a continuation of the old one. For continuation of the old one, you cannot carry there because the enclosure was made before the house was put in. It's an argument. Chad Amar Hoyel helps, Chad Amar Hoyel doesn't help. This time will conclude that Rav Chizda Amar Hoyel will conclude that Rav Chizda one holds that it helps. Why? The Itma we learned, because when you put on the edge, we're saying that when you put on the edge of the mound, we're talking about on top, we gave 2 examples there, within 3 tfachim of the mound, or on top of the mound at its edge, so it looks like a wall. And the argument is something that before we mentioned, which was undisputed, now is actually being disputed between Rav Chizda and Rav Nuna. That is, can you build a wall on top of another wall? So Rav Chizda Amar Hoyel, the Itma, what he learned, if you, there's an existing wall and you just added another 10 tfachim, let's say a wall above that, Amar Rav Chizda says, it's a valid mechitza, you built a brand new mechitza, it doesn't matter if there's a mechitza underneath it, and therefore, for example, in the case of the Karfif, now you have a mechitza, you have a partition that was made after the house was put in there, it's good enough. Benichse hager loikana. If a convert has no family, didn't have any children, his parents, his siblings, or whatever, are no longer his family, because when you convert, it's as if Kikotin Shinoil Dummy. Chassam Sefer actually asks, what is the basis? Where do we know that a Ger converts, he's no longer considered, he's like a newborn child? Where does he know that from? That he can marry his own sister, he can marry his own mother. And he goes through and he tries to figure it out, because the Gemara stays it as an axiomatic, but there's no real basis for it anywhere. But in the Balat Turim, it was in last week's Parsha, or was this week's Parsha, where it says, Leisata, I forgot where it is, about a Yosem, it says there, Ger Yosem Amonah, so he darshans Ger, the Baal Turim says, Ger Yosem means Every geir is a yosel because it's as if he's just born without any family whatsoever. So when he passes away, if he didn't give it away to anybody, then what happens to his estate? Whoever cuts it first and makes a kinyan. So if there's an existing wall and all you did was you added another wall, so you didn't actually benefit the estate, then it's not really a kinyan and it's not valid. This time, so it's clear that Chizda holy could build a mechitza on top of another mechitza and it's valid. Amar Rav Chizda. However, Moedilin of Sheshes, so Sheshes does not agree about building a new wall, will agree with me. She must a mechitza al hatel. The mound itself is considered a wall. If you built let's say this mound is more greater than two saw, so everything's on top of this mound. And when you're living on top of this mound, there's only an imaginary wall, because the mound itself, the wall goes down, slopes downwards, and there's an imaginary wall that continues going upwards. But if you built a physical wall on the top of that tail, everyone agrees that that wall is considered a valid wall, because the house that's in there is being surrounded merely by the new wall rather than the imaginary wall that was there previously. Shahoyel, it helps my time. Shahoyel, but Avi Mechitza Yoinos Hudar, because he benefits from these new Mechitzas, because that's where everyone is above that mound. Boy, Rabba Barba Chana. So Rabba Chana asks an interesting question. What happens? You tell me you cannot build a Mechitza on top of another Mechitza. So what happens if you build a mechitza on another mechitza, it's not valid, but then suddenly the mechitza in the bottom just sunk, collapsed. And now the only mechitza that's left is the one that you build on top. Do we now recognize it as a valid mechitza, or do we say since when it was constructed it wasn't, it's not valid? Nivlu mechitza, the bottom mechitza has got to absorb in the ground. Well, yain is kayamis, all you have left standing is the ones that you build above. Ma, well, what's it in? Says Gemara Lamai. Regarding which, remember, we raised two issues here. One is Shabbos, whether you put a house in that karf of the yard afterwards, and do we recognize these as new walls and a surrounding house? And one regarding the state of a ger, whether we recognize that you've done some input into his asset, and therefore you've transacted or you made a kinyan, it's yours. If you're talking about the ger, this is already a discussion that was raised by Yimre Beira. What's that? Omer Yimre, Omer Yehuda. Hai man de shodi lifta. If somebody throws, let's say, as seeds, there's a hole in the ground, and you just threw a bunch of seeds in there to grow. That's all you did. Then the Asi Yisrael, afterwards, another eat came along, Rafag Bapurta, and went ahead and dug, to all the soil. Is Basakoni, Kamilakoni, the second guy is cutting, the first one isn't, because the first one didn't do anything. Why not? My timer. What did you do? When you threw the seeds in the ground, what did you do? Did you actually change the state? No. But what? Eventually, it grows and it benefits the asset. But any benefit happened on its own. You didn't do anything. But the second guy came along and tilled the soil, so he made a kinyan. So, the same thing here. When you built the additional mechitza, you didn't add anything. If tomorrow the old mechitza collapses and all you have left of this wall, it happened by itself. So you did not have any input. So regarding the gear, there's nothing to discuss. The question is regarding Shabbos. Lini Shabbos. Well, if it's regarding Shabbos, yes, have a mechitza hanase b'Shabbos. So this is no different than the case we learned a few times earlier, that if you built a mechitza, a partition on Shabbos, it's good enough. So imagine that this partition was erected on Shabbos because the old mechitza collapsed on Shabbos, and this now became the new mechitza. Because the Tanya will in the Braise, kol mechitza hanase b'Shabbos, any mechitza was constructed on Shabbos, bein b'shegi, bein mezid, whether you did it inadvertently or deliberately, bein shema mechitza is a valid mechitza. So therefore, this is called a mechitza regarding Shabbos. Says the Gemara, is that so? The same question we had previously. Lav itmaral didn't we learn of Rav Nachman leishanu el lizrek? It's only lechumra that we treat. If you build a mechitza on Shabbos, only lechumra, we say, well, it's surrounded. It's a shusayachit. Somebody tosses something inside, they're liable. Avol etalkul asa. But we're not going to be lenient and say it's a valid mechitza you can carry in that enclosed area. So lechayda, why are you permitting over here that second mechitza, now that the first one collapsed, it's a valid mechitza that you can carry there? Says the Gemara, Ki Rav Nachman amazit. Rav Nachman only talking about if you did it deliberately, you violated the laws of Shabbos, you built a mechitza, so we're going to penalize you cannot benefit from it. But if it happened by itself, like in this case here, everyone agrees it's a valid mechitza. Says the Gemara, there was a woman talking about the ger, the of the mechitza al gab mechitza. She saw that her neighbor, the ger, died, and she wanted to acquire the land. She didn't ask her rav how I should do it. She did it on her own. And what she did was she built a second fence on top of the old fence. So in other words, it didn't really benefit the property at all. You already have a fence. Benichse ager, also a gab. Another guy came along a while later, rafag bapurta, and dug in the ground. Also the kamer nachman, they had it in Torah. Ukme biyadir. Nachman ruled that the second guy acquires it because he actually benefited the asset. She didn't. Osas Eve Kotzavcha, she came along and screamed Kamei in front of Nachman. Amala, he said to him, my Avila, what do you want me to do? You did not make a valid kinyan. I can't change the rules to suit you. Anyhow, the Gemara continues. What happens if karfif bei sholosh? Let's say you have this yard that is karfif, that is 3 saw. And we learned before that anything greater than 2 saw is like a karmelus. You're not allowed to carry there because the enclosure is not for residential purposes. But then what happened was v'kida bei beisa. One of the saw you had a roof over it. And the question is now, if you look at the roof and isolate it from the rest of the karfif, then all you have remaining is 2 saw or less, so you should be able to carry. The question is, do we separate? It's one long karfif, but part of it is covered. Rava Amar Rava says, Avi kiruv miyasre. Rava goes ahead and says that the space of the he says that we combine the part that's covered with the part that's uncovered, and it's still more than 2 saw, and therefore you cannot carry it on Shabbos. You cannot carry Shabbos. It's as if it wasn't covered, because it has no impact on the karfif itself. In other words, miyasa means it's extra. So that avi, the kiruv, that area is extra, and you add it on, the aggregate is 3 saw. Rabzeir Amar, ain't avi kiruv miyasa. Rabzeir says, no, we separate the two. You have 2 saw here, 1 saw here that you can carry. Says the Gemara, what's going on? Seems to be arguing the following argument. They're arguing the concept of pitikriyated v'saisim. If you believe that the roof, the edge of the roof, as if there's an imaginary, the lip of that roof then goes down and it forms a wall, so then the covered area is totally segregated from the uncovered area, so you're allowed to carry in each one. But if you learn you don't believe in pitikriyated v'saisim, then you cannot carry because you have 3 saw all up. And where do we find such an argument? Is there an argument between Rav and Shmuel? We learned aksadra, if you have an aksadra. Rashi holds an aksadra is like a veranda that's open on all 4 sides. And according to Tosfos, aksadra is closed on 3 sides but open on the 4th side. Bebika out in the field. Rav, but Rav says, mutil tautl bakuli, you're allowed to carry in this, like a gazebo. You're allowed to carry in this whole gazebo. Why? Because even though you have no walls, because you have a roof on 4 sides, we imagine that it comes down on all 4 sides. And Shmuel says, "Ein metalten elbad adamas. You can only carry 4 amas." In other words, we don't recognize at all the pitikra. We don't say that it's covered, that there are walls there. Rav Amar more explains. That's a mutl talva kulam. We say pitikra v'saisa. We said edge of the roof comes down. Shmuel Amar, "Ein metalten elbad only 4 amas." Le amri, we do not say pitikra yedid v'saisa. So it seems there's the same dispute here. Whether we say the covered area is separated from the rest. Rav Zeida says it's totally separated. It must be because he holds pitikr. So he holds like Rav. Says the Gemara, so it says, so Rav says, no, I don't necessarily disagree at all with Rav Shmuel. Rav says pitikr, and I say that you combine the covered area of the karfif with the uncovered area of the karfif. I'm not arguing. Why? Because the roof on the aksadra is flat, which is very different than the roof that you have on top of the of this karfif. Nobody lives there. And I'm talking about in a case where it's a slopey roof. And because it's a slopey roof, therefore there's no pitikra. He explains, if that third saw would have had a cover like aksadra, which is a flat roof, hachinami, you're right. I would also agree with the concept of pitikra. Hachamaskim, we're talking about the bay arzul, uzila. You made it like as it's sloping downwards. And therefore, because it's sloping, we don't have this imaginary wall. And Rav Zeida holds, even in this case, we say there's an imaginary wall. Amar Rav Zeida says, Umaydina, and Rav Zeida says, I will be made bekarfif, shenifriz bimalui lechatz. If you have a karfif, and the entire 4th side spills into a chatz, then I will agree that the chatz combines with the karfif, and makes, let's say the karfif is exactly 2 saw, right? You still have to carry there. But then that one side is completely wide open to a courtyard. That I will say that you will combine the courtyard with the karfif, and I'll be made that you can no longer carry in the karfif, because it's longer it's greater than 2 saw. I only argued in the covered area because of pitikra. There's no pitikra, there's no roof here, just a courtyard. And therefore, the aggregate, the combination of the two makes it larger than 2 saw. Says the Gemara, my time of why, hoyel sins, but avir chotzer, the space in the chotzer, miyasra, you add it on to the karfiv, and therefore now you have a greater area than tusa. Maskil, but basically that's the question, I don't understand. V'chi avir hamutaloi. Now, this chotzer, prior to this question, this chatzah you allowed to, before you broke that wall, you know, collapsed that whole side, you permitted to carry, unless it was only a narrow opening, or less than 10 amos, you were prepared to carry from the chatzah to the karfif, according to Rab Shimon. Rab Shimon holds that once goods are inside a chatzah prior to Shabbos, then you can carry from a chatzah to a karfif to a roof, like we had a few days ago. You're allowed to carry. So, according to Rab Shimon, before the wall fell down, you were allowed to carry from the chatzah to the karfif. And now that that wall, that side that was facing the chatzah completely collapsed, and now they're opened up completely, so that area which is mutter suddenly should become usa, and not only should become usa, that this should forbid you to carry in the karfif as well. He says here, v'chi aver hamutter le'osa, not only that. True that you want to say now there's a larger area than tusa, but the chatzah has a house. What's a chatzah? Chatzah means a house. So that section of the chatzah, its walls are there to surround a house. So they're allowed to carry there. You were always allowed to carry from the karf of the chatzah. Now the wall collapsed. How can it be that the chatzah should be the cause to forbid you to carry in that karfif? Amale Abaye, he said, Abaye says to his teacher, come on, your question is based is on the premise that we're following Rab Shimon that says that you're allowed to carry from a chatzah to a karfif if goods are already in the chatzah because all considered one reshus. I want you to know, even Rab Shimon will be made nami, will be made in this case also. And interestingly, you know why? We're not talking about that you add the entire chatzah to the karfif to make it greater than tusa. We're talking about that this karfif is exactly tusa. Then there was an opening there. Now that the entire wall collapsed, you have to add the few inches that the wall, the space, that took up space. You have to add that now to the karfif. Previously, it was not part of anything. It was the wall. So now you have to add that to the karfif. And that little bit of space, if you add that to the karfif, suddenly it's greater than tusa. Because before it was exactly tusa, now it's greater. And that's why you can no longer carry in the karfif. Ha'ik avir mokam mechitzis. You have to include now the new space that was generated by the collapse of the walls, and you add that to the tusa, it's greater. And therefore, according to everybody, you no longer carry a karfif. Not because the chatzar bans you, proscribes you from carrying the karfif, it's the space where the walls existed previously. Rambam Chizkiya says, Chizkiya says, a karfif shenifriz b'meluyah l'chatzar. Chizkiya says, if you have a karfif that's open wide into a chatzar, excuse me, if you have a karfif that was open to a chatzah is muteret the karfif. If you have a karfif that's open to a chatzah, the chatzah is permitted, and the karfif is otzah. This is what Rav Chizkiya said. This is a particular case when we try to understand why. So if the karfif suddenly the one side completely open to a chatzah, the chatzah you're allowed to carry because the chatzah, its fourth side, you know, now it has a big opening to the karfif, but it's still flanked by two walls on both sides of that thing, and we learned before that it's still considered valo chatzah. So the chatzah you're allowed to carry. But the karfif you cannot carry because the entire fourth side is missing. Chatzah my timer. What's the reason why you're allowed to carry the chatzah? Dikalik fufi, because it has the, it, you know, on both sides of that opening you have still parts of the wall. And we're following up the Rabbanon who say you cannot carry from a chatzah to a karfif. Each one is a separate rishus, and if you don't make an error between the two, you cannot. So now, if the opening is less than 10 amos, then why say you're allowed to carry in the chatzah, you're not allowed to carry in the karfif, because you told me the entire fourth side of the karfif is open. You could have just given the exact same law, but the other way around. If the entire fourth side of the chutz is open, but by the karfif it's just an opening because you have walls on both sides, you're allowed to carry in the karfif, not the chutz. See, there's no special chiddush here. Why only talk about the chutz if it's less than 10 amas, that opening? So, Ella must be, sorry, also the chutz my time is, why can't it be the other way around? Why couldn't it be that the fourth side of the chutz completely collapsed? And the karfif you can continue carrying because that opening is less than 10 amos and has walls, it's flanking the walls on both sides. But the chatzah, you can't. So what's so novel about telling me the chatzah you could and the karfif you can't? In the same situation, it would be the other way around. In the karfif you can, the chatzah you can't. Because sometimes you find a way around. Must be Ella, because he comes up with the case that the karfif you cannot carry. And in the chatzah you could. Obviously, we're following up Shimon, the goods are already existing in the chatzah, and you're allowed to carry from the chatzah to the karfif, the karfif to the chatzah. Because he holds that they're not really considered two separate domains, because they're both very similar laws. And the problem why the kafir cannot carry is a different reason altogether. El shudamrinan, because this is greater than tusa, which is a law only when it comes to a karfif. It's not a law when it comes to a chatzik, because a chatzik encloses a house. So it's only by a karfif. So but previously you were able to carry the karfif, and now that the fourth wall collapsed, you cannot. And why not? It must be because you're adding on the space where the wall, you know, stood previously, and you add that on to the tusa, suddenly you have a greater than the tusa, and that's why you cannot carry the karfif, but the chatzik you can. El shudamrinan, we say, ze ave mechitzes miyasre. Over here, when it comes to the karfif, you add on the mechitzes. Ze ain ave mechitzes miyasre. When it comes to the chatzik, you don't care if it becomes greater, because as long as it encloses houses, it doesn't matter. Says the Gemara, there was this orchard, the Havisamech, Laguda, the Avda. There was an orchard that was right next to a palace. And this palace had a wall between the palace and the orchard, and it had a door that you can go from the palace to the orchard. So, which means that this orchard really is surrounding a living thing, even though the house, the palace is not really inside the orchard, it's outside, but because the wall between the orchard and the palace had a door, has an opening to the orchard, it's considered as if it's Hek of Ladira. It's called Muk of Ladira. And therefore, it doesn't matter if the orchard is greater than Tusa, because the walls around the orchard are really there also to protect the palace. But what happens if Nofel Ashisa Briyosa the Avdana? That wall, that's the outer wall that separated the palace from the orchard, collapsed. What happens then? So what happens then? Says Gemara, Sovar Abi Lemeir, maybe I thought we can say, so is there a fourth wall for this orchard, for this karfif? Is it a karfif? Maybe I want to say, Lismech Agudu Gviyosa. Let's rely on the inner wall. Now, surrounding the palace immediately, there was a wall there. And that should be, let's say, the wall from the house. And let's use the wall of the house and say that wall of the house is there to be the fourth wall for this chatzir. And you know, let's rely on the wall of the house. And that should be the wall for the orchard outside. And since that wall of the house is there to surround the house, dwelling place, it can also allow you to carry in this orchard. Amar Rapapa, the puppy was said something very nasty. This is Abaye's son, Rabibi. Rapapa said to him, Mishum da osi memuloi, because he come from a family who were cut off, amritu milim yosu. So you say things which are silly or cut off things. Abaye, Rashi brings it, we have the Gemara already, came from the house of Eli, and he died young. They're all cursed, they died young. And therefore, you said things which don't make sense. Why not? Because Hanach Mechitz Legavoyevdin, the walls of the house were not made to surround the orchard. The walls of the house are made for the house itself. And Lebroi Levidin, they have nothing to do with the orchard at all. And how can you use that wall to say that becomes the fourth wall for this pardis, for this bustana? So therefore, you're not allowed to carry anymore inside this orchard. There's no fourth wall. Ahu, there was Abavanka, this is like a gazebo, but this is like this. They had a big tree, settled, Rashi tells us, they had a big tree, and they used to plant it for shade and everything else, and they made a bunch of seats all around it that in the summertime, they would go sit under the trees, they would eat their picnic there, and so on. So that's called Abavanka. The Reish Gulusa had it in his orchard. Do me a favor. This is an orchard, which is a karfif, and the walls there surrounding a karfif means you cannot carry. But I want to be able to eat Shabbos, have a kiddush there. It's a beautiful place. Make it somehow possible that we can carry from our house to this avavanka and on Shabbos into the karfif. Make some kind of solution. We can eat bread there. Ozzily went, Ovid, he decided to isolate the Avanke from the rest of the Karfif. So what he did was, he built Kona Pochim Shlesha, he built all these slats within reeds, within three Tvachim of each other, he built a wall, a pathway all the way to the Avanke, and therefore it's separated from the rest. Now, Rava went, and we already had it before as well, we had other Amoraim that were so makbid that the Halacha has to be like them, that anybody... We had the Rav Zeir, remember the Reish Gulusa that previously, that if anybody went and did not follow their rules, they used to destroy the Erev. The second story we have. So Rava felt, Azar Rava, Rava went, Shalfinu. He pulled out all the sticks that Rav Huna Machina made. He pulled out all the sticks from that Erev. He pulled them all out. Also, Rav Papa Rav Yeshua, these were two loyal students of Rava. They didn't even question whether Rava was right or the other Amora was right, whether Rav Huna was right. They didn't question him. And they just went and Naktinu Mebasrei. They went ahead and they took it. Rava pulled them out and they went, picked it up and hid it so that Rav Huna shouldn't take the sticks and put them back again before Shabbos. That's how loyal and committed they were to their Rebbe. But this is the second story we had, that if somebody didn't agree with them with Eidav, they went and they destroyed the Eidav. I guess this is a precedent where you have sometimes machlekes and about Eidav, and you have people who try to destroy the Eidav. It's exactly what we have here. Rava did it now. We had it up. Zedo did it last time, and then he saved the guy when they realized they incarcerated the person who did it, and then when they realized that Zedo gave him instructions.
I think it was Rav Sheshes.
Rav Sheshes. He gave him instructions, they let him go. So it's really two stories. Same thing. And the worst thing is that Rava was wrong in this story, and yet the students themselves didn't agree with their Rebbe, or after they thought about it. But first impulse was, if their Rebbe wants to do something, you got to follow obediently.
So, given the Nafik Mepumet of Karim.
Yeah, but exactly. But this is harming against somebody else. Here, Esrei, first Ravina asked Rava a question. So you, Rava, says that what? That you don't. You say you don't need to make it. You don't need to make it. So that's a question. It says, Ir Chadosha, if you have a brand new city that nobody lives in yet, and you have a wall surrounding it. So now when you want to work out the tchum, is Moidin Lo Mi Yeshivasa. So its wall is not recognized as a wall, because when you built the wall, there were no houses there. So even though you put houses in afterwards, the wall is not recognized as a wall. It's like it has to be Huk of the Dira. And this Chayma was not Huk of the Dira, so it's not a wall. And when you want to start counting at Chum Shabbos, you count from the houses, the extreme houses, at the end of the city. The Yishana, but you have an old wall, which means first there were houses there, and then you put a wall around it. Then you count Mechemasa, you count your Chum from the wall. Ezehi Chadosh of Ezehi Yishon. Now the Gemara explains. What's considered a new city or an old city? Chadosh, a new city, means first you put the wall up, and then you filled it with houses. That wall we do not recognize. Yishon is an old one. Yashva, first you built the houses, you put the walls around it. So now this paradise over here, the Hainami, was a wall around it for many days. And then now, after you built the orchard and everything else, and the tree grew, you decided to use a tree for your living purposes. But that, in other words, Rava felt that this orchard doesn't need a native, because it's surrounding this area which they sit and have picnics in, is as if the wall surrounding an enclosed a dwelling place. So why do you need that extra? And that alone bothered Rava, and he took away the native. You imagine? This guy wants to be machmer, he's not being mekel, he wants to be machmer and say, oh, you know what, I still want to make an extra ediv here. And Rava pulled it away. There's no need to have the extra ediv. And he pulled it away. And so Ravina said, I don't understand. This pardes, l'chatchila, when they built the wall, there was no, the tree was not being used at all for that purpose. It's only afterwards that they added on. So this is kehuk ful b'soev yashu dami. There is no wall here. The wall is not recognized. And Huna Bachina did the right thing for putting that extra aid in. What did you do? That was question number one. So this was not by one of his students, but Amar Rav Papa, the very Rav Papa, who went and hid all the sticks, then also turned to Rava and said, I don't understand what you did. But Amar Rav Asi, didn't Rav Asi say, Mechitza Drachlin, that carpenters and people who, construction workers, they build themselves, little sheds while they're constructing, so they have shade, they have where to eat, and then to sleep or something. These are temporary dwellings. Loishma mechitza. They're not considered recognized as walls. Almod rishimir. The kibun litzniusa avidala. Since it's not really meant to dwell, it's really there to protect them from the sun or from the rain. And tomorrow they're going to destroy it. It's not recognized as a house. Lahav mechitza. Hakanami kibun litzniusa avidala mechitza. Here also under the tree. They're not living there. They're just using it for shade when they eat. Therefore, it's not considered dira. Where's the hook of the dira over here? That was a papa's question to his teacher after he first listen to his teacher. Actually, his teacher never even asked him to take away the sticks. They just zealously went and followed him and did whatever he wanted, whatever he did. Then Rav Huna Berei Rav Yeshua, the other one who took and hid the sticks, also turned to Rava and said, Rav Huna said, The Abahuna said if a mechitza is made, that let's say only to guard things inside it, not really for anybody to live in, is lo yishma mechitza, is not considered mechitza. The Rabba Barhu and Ravua, because Rabba Baravua, Ma'arva Lakulu Mechuza, that, you know, in the city of Mechuza, he went ahead and he made an ediv on the entire city of Mechuza. Right? There's a whole bunch of streets there. And he made an ediv on all the streets of Mechuza, each street independently. Arsi Yasa. You know, neighborhood, neighborhood by neighborhood. And why? Mishum Peder, the Beitur, there were a bunch of holes in the ground where they used to keep food for animals that went through the entire city of Mechuza. And then they built mechitzas around Mechuza, and the purpose of the mechitzas was to protect the food inside those pits for the animals. So since the main purpose of the walls were not to surround the houses of Mechuza, the main purpose of the walls was to protect the food that they put inside those pits for the animals, you cannot rely on the walls of Mechuza as a city with walls around them. So therefore, you had to make every neighbor a separate eidav. And therefore, what do we see? Because the walls were there to protect, they were there to protect the fruit, the food, and so on. It's not called a mechitza. Saying here, nobody's living there by the tree. It's only to give them shade. Kori alayu reish galusa. Reish galusa got now so angry at Rava. He said, because of you, this Shabbos, we had this big kiddush in mind, beautiful weather, and you, in your kanoyus, went and you destroyed our edim, now it's Shabbos, and we can't do anything about it. So kori alayu reish galusa said about Rava, chachomim heima lahora. They're only smart when it comes to harming other people. How to improve people's lives, lo yodu, they have no idea how to do that. Pretty sharp words. Amazing Gemara. Anyway, on that note, we'll stop here.
Yep. Thank you.
See you tomorrow, Mitzvah.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Yudis?
Yeah.
How was your walk? Okay. Oh, you hear the last piece of Gemara here? Well, you don't even listen. Talking about the Kanoim against Erevin.
No. Are you a Kanoi against Erevin?
No, Rava was a Kanoi. Somebody wanted to be Machmir, a native, and he felt that we should be lenient, so he destroyed the guy's Chumr de Erev, not the guy called the Erev. And his students went and hid the whole Erev so nobody can get to it, and later on the same students realized that their Rebbe was wrong. And
so 1 second, he thought it was too humid.
Yeah, he thought there's no need to have an aid of here because you already have walls. What happened was there was a big orchard, and in the middle of the orchard there was a tree, and eventually they saw the tree is beautiful, so they started using it as a picnic grounds on Shabbos. They would go there and what do you call it? And have a picnic. And then, during the week. So now one time he wanted on Shabbos to have a picnic. So so he asked the Rav, Rav Huna Bar Chinina, to go ahead and work for something else. The guy made him a native. He made all these sticks all the way to that tree. So it took the tree out of that orchard. Because the law is that the orchard, even though it has walls around it, if it's not surrounding a house and it's a very large area, it doesn't work. So Rava felt that because they're eating there, it's like living in a living place, so we don't need a native. So he went, you don't need a native. It already has walls around this whole orchard, and you're already eating under the tree, so it's like the walls of the orchard. Exactly, surrounding a living area. So what he did was he went and he took or removed all the sticks right before Shabbos. His two students went and hid all the sticks so that can't put it back. Then on Shabbos, these two students suddenly turned to them and said, what did you just do here? This is not considered surrounding a living place. They're only going there for the shade. It's not because they live there. And shade is not really, it's only for tzniyas. It's not for privacy. It's not really a house. And therefore, the walls around the orchard are not surrounding a house. And you're not allowed to carry there on Shabbos.
Right.
And they were right. So the Reish Gluz got so angry. Everyone was right. But meanwhile, they did this whole kiddush that he planned is gone. So the Reish Gluz said, Chachamim heima lahara, that Rava, the greatest author of the Gemara, is a chacham only how to harm people, but l'toiv l'yedu, have no idea how to help people out. They only know how to sit and plan how to harm people. That's the Gemara. Interesting. Okay, I'm going to take a quick shower. So your walk was good today?
No.
No?
Can't get to talk on the radio yet.